This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is an examination of the hidden human condition.
This is the Hidden Killers Podcast.
The Hidden Killers Podcast.
With Tony Bruschi.
Jack Reitz is still with us. Jack is a nationally recognized and award-winning criminal defense lawyer. We are talking Koberger, and we are talking specifically about another development in which has occurred in the last handful of days. Let's talk about the DNA evidence on the knife sheath. That so far has been the only piece of DNA evidence that has been revealed publicly. Now, they may have a treasure trove of it that is sitting there and they're waiting for court, and this will be revealed at some point in time. But publicly, in the initial statements and in the initial arrest warrants and such, there was that of talking of the genealogical DNA found in the knife sheath that then traced it back to Koberger. We've now learned that it took two labs to determine that there was DNA evidence on it. The first one couldn't find anything. The second one that it went to found it. How does that impact the trial? Is it sowing more seeds of doubt on the part of the defense to a jury? Does it matter at all that one lab couldn't find it, but the other one did pick things up just based on the quality of the lab?
Well, I appreciate the question, my friend. I really do, because this is a perfect example of when you read a complaint, when you read the original charge, that's as good as the evidence usually gets.
Yeah.
It looks awesome.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it looks solid. You'll read this and go, slam dunk, baby, slam dunk. You know, nothing to it. The problem is it's not always the case.
Yeah.
Because in this circumstance, I mean, we were all watching this case, and you know, I covered this a lot. I mean, you know, in terms of what I do, I mean, I'm a practicing criminal defense attorney. So, yeah. I mean, I'm sort of in the trenches all of the time. And so I'm thinking of this from my perspective, but this is how I see it. When I first heard about it and we heard DNA, okay, you get that connection. And you determine, ooh, knife sheath, DNA, ouch. From a defense perspective, that sounds brutal. From a prosecution perspective, I'm licking my chops. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, yeah, babe, here we go. Here we go. I got this one.
Yeah.
But here's what happens. When you send a knife sheath in for DNA testing to your normal lab, the one that you depend upon in all of your cases and the one you depended upon in this case and you have for years, and their answer is, we find nothing at all. Then what you do is you say, well, I have a novel idea. Let's send it to Texas because there's this new thing that's out there that may find what we're looking for. And so they send it to Texas and they do this genealogical DNA where they basically are matching it to a relative so they can backtrack it and say, this is how we make the connection. And that's really what they did.
Sure.
And my answer from the prosecution is, good. I still have the connection. It still works. My response from the defense is you get what you pay for.
Mm-hmm.
You get what you pay for because what you do is you have a standard in which you approach every single case. Well, guess what? You got an answer, but you didn't like it, did you? You decided that everything that you've depended upon in the past for years, probably for decades, probably tens of thousands of times that were always good enough for you, weren't good enough in this case. And why is that? Because you didn't get the answer that you wanted. Uh-huh. And so what you did is you paid somebody else a ton of money in order to come up with an answer that you did. Well, isn't that fascinating? Because you get what you pay for, don't you think? Now, that's a theme that you can really lean into for a jury. And that is that seed of doubt, that reasonable doubt. Because when you're creating doubt in a criminal trial, it's not just one thing. It's a strand and another strand and another strand that you weave together, and you weave it into a thread, into a rope, into a rug, into something that's big enough that you can say, there is more than just one thing here that should have been answered that wasn't. That's what reasonable doubt is. That's how a defense team, if they're smart, will do something like this.
And I totally understand why one would do that.
It
totally makes sense why one would do that. And it certainly does sow doubt. You get what you pay for. You do. But at the same point, I would imagine the prosecution would then argue, yes, you do get what you pay for. But at the same point, this DNA that they did find on it, that was genealogical, that traced this back to Koberger, who also has a gazillion other pieces of evidence against him, it didn't come out of nowhere. This DNA just didn't magically appear on this knife sheath at a different lab. This other lab was able to detect something a bit better than maybe some of the previous ways that they had detected things. So that shouldn't just throw it out. I get how it creates doubt, though, and why you'd want to use that. But it doesn't do that.
Oh, my gosh, yes.
Go ahead.
It doesn't negate it.
Yeah.
It doesn't make it go. Yeah, it doesn't make it go away. And I agree with you. I mean, I'm grabbing one side or the other as I'm thinking about how you win a case like
this. Sure.
And I agree. My response, if I'm prosecuting this case, is, look, there are limitations that we have in this particular case. And so what we did is we have a chain of custody that can show you how we didn't contaminate this piece, how it was sacrosanct, if you will, all the way through. And our purpose was to say, is there advanced technology that we don't use in every single case that will give us the answer that we want? Not because it's what we want. It's because it's accurate. It's because it's true, because it means something. And you lay that out for a jury, so the jury can see this, and you start talking about genealogical DNA, and you're going to take the time to say, you know, look, you know, I came from my mother and from my father. They both have DNA. My DNA, it reflects based upon them. You can actually tell. Has anybody heard of 23andMe, you know, where you can go out and get your DNA checked, and all of a sudden you'll find out I have three cousins and I have a sister that I didn't hear about. Dad, what the hell have you been doing?
Sure.
Now, all of a sudden, a jury will hear that and go, yes, I understand what that means. And if a prosecution is smart, what they will do is they will bring up the 23andMe, they will bring up these other organizations, and they will talk about why that matters. Mm-hmm. Because it shows another way to get to the correct answer. It's not the answer we want. It's the correct answer, whether you like it or not.
Sure. And it's one of those things where there's probably a lot of education that needs to be done to every single individual jury. As DNA, to some, it makes their eyes glaze over. To others, they totally understand it. I would imagine a good analogy in something like this would be, okay, you look to the stars, it's at night with a binocular. You're going to see a lot of stars, but you know what? If you get out the high-powered telescope, you're going to see even more, because your naked eye or the binocular doesn't pick up everything. Doesn't mean the stars aren't there, but when you use a high-powered telescope, you're going to see more. You're going to see things that the naked eye wouldn't see, because they are there, because you're using a bigger, better piece of technology. How difficult is it as a criminal defense attorney sometimes to educate a jury on things like DNA and make them fully understand the reality of what they're looking at?
That's a complicated question, because I sometimes look at juries and I think about this over the last quarter of a century. Jesus, I'm getting old. But they've changed. You know, there was a time when it seemed they were more patient in terms of their willingness to listen and understand things. And sometimes I see that those juries are getting less patient. I'm not sure if it's just the internet age and how things have changed dramatically. And I need my answer in the first 25 seconds or I glaze over.
Yeah.
And so that can happen sometimes too. And people don't take technology. Some people are Luddites. I mean, they're just anti-technology. And their attitude is like, yeah, it's all sorcery. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't believe it, because it's not fill in the blank. And so that is always the challenge. But I think that's one of the reasons that you need somebody, either experts or are also good attorneys, who know how to talk like human beings. Mm-hmm. We get lost in our own jargon sometimes, and it happens all the time. And it's important that you can talk about complex issues, not in simplified ways, but in ways that are understandable and relatable, so a jury. And by the way, your analogy of the telescope and looking into the sky is a great one. I can look up and I don't see anything. Just because I use it, just because I don't see anything, doesn't mean it isn't there. Mm-hmm. How do you see it? When you look with a telescope, you can see stars that you hadn't seen. Are we suggesting those stars weren't there because you couldn't see them without the telescope? Or are you just calling it something else? And that's what this is. That's a great analogy because people will go, I get it.
This is an examination of the hidden human condition.
This is the Hidden Killers podcast
with Tony Bruschi.
Jack Rice, thank you for joining us. Jack is a nationally recognized and award-winning criminal defense lawyer. You can find out more about Jack at jackricelaw.com. A big thank you to him for his insights into this case. You have any feedback, any thoughts on any of this you want to weigh in? We welcome it. You can weigh in anytime. Give us a call, 888-5-KILLER, 888-554-5537. Call 24/7. We'd love to hear your voice. My name is Tony Bruschi. Stay with us.